Good morning, good morning. It's the news, according to me. Yeehaw! Hey, I am, you might find that I'm a bit more chipper than normal today. This being a Friday show, but that's beside the point. I have, I have vacation. I'm on vacation. I'm officially, today is actually not, today's just a day off, by the way. Tomorrow starts my official vacation. After my vacation, my 1 week of vacation, I have 4 days off. At the beginning of next month, I'm planning on having 3 days off. And then I start another vacation. And then I should have some more days off. In other words, what I'm trying to say here is I don't plan on working much for the next 4 weeks. And I mean, I'm not planning on working much for the next 4 weeks. I'm totally wiping my slate clean of any kind of job-related stuff that I do for this company that I work for. I've got plenty of other work to do, don't get me wrong, and including this show. I've got 4 books to write. Well, at least I've got 2. Actually, I thought of another book I could write. That's just one more thing. I'm not going to get started on that, though, because I got to get these other 2 done. I just got to get 1 done, and I can get the other one done. And then I can start working on another one. I have, so we get this stuff done. See, I'm not a big book reader. So for me, it's not, I don't understand the whole book thing. I don't know why people even read books personally, but I get it. You know, I understand that. My wife is a bookworm. She can sit down with a book, stick her nose at a book for days. I just go nuts. I mean, I should write a book about chai. I should write a book about sweet tea. That's what I should do. I do have chai in my cup here this morning, and I have a backup cup of some sweet tea that came from Culver's, which isn't the finest quality. I had an opportunity. Was it yesterday morning? I think it was yesterday. Yesterday morning. I had an opportunity yesterday morning, but I was kind of running late. I was catching a plane out of Little Rock to go back to Chicago yesterday, and I was running kind of late. There was a Chick-fil-A right there next to the gate. And I should have just stopped in there. I got my stuff done. I could have gotten on. I could have gotten a sweet tea, but I decided not to take the chance of getting on the plane late and just having all kinds of issues. So I didn't do that. I was running from the hotel late. Actually, I almost missed the van to the hotel, which would have thrown me off by about, they only run every half hour. And I would have been, that would have been a little tight. I've kind of gotten there another half hour later. Fortunately, the van driver waited for me. I should have given him a tip, I suppose. I hate not tipping van drivers, by the way. And I like tipping people when they deserve it. I don't like tipping people when there's nothing there for them to tip for. Nobody tips me in my job. I'm expected to pay tips. I'm expected to pay taxes. I'm expected to pay taxes when I buy something, when I sell something, when I breathe air. Don't get me started. Oh, there's a little kitty poking his head around the corner here. She wants some attention, I think. She's such a cutie. You just can't resist this cat. It's just, yeah. So she just has these big kitty cat eyes. Such a cutie pie. So we have, she's up tearing up my wall right now, which is fine because she's so she can do whatever she wants. She's so cute. I have some vacation time, and I got this. I was talking about my book and all that stuff. It's not important. Needless to say, my level of stress for the next few weeks is plummeting. It's going to take me a couple days to kind of unwind. But I guarantee you, within the next couple days, over the weekend, I got some things to do over the weekend. Normal stuff, just life stuff. But it usually takes me a couple of days to kind of uncrank the spring that's inside of me that jumps every time they say how high at the place over there to do stuff. So, and yeah. So tonight, by the way, Shabbat Shalom. We're having a Seder meal this evening, our little group, which I really enjoy. It's usually a big deal. A lot of guests come for that, which is kind of fun. In fact, our neighbors are coming this time with us to that thing, which is it's always fun. So we'll be hanging out with them for a little while. We don't get to hang out with them very much. We interact with them, talk to them quite a bit. They do stuff for us. We do stuff for them. In fact, I just bought a backhoe last year, and he's got a pond. He's wanting me to do something. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm looking forward to it because I want to play with that thing. Looking for any excuse I can to play with that thing. I was out shoveling snow with it this winter. We had one snowstorm. I was out running around the neighborhood with the front loader on the backhoe, trying to clear people's driveways out. It didn't have quite enough snow to really make a difference. It's a little bit too much equipment for that. Probably should have. I was trying to get a snowblade put on the four-wheeler, and I didn't get that done because it requires some effort. I should probably get that done. But see, now it's not going to snow for a while, so I'm not going to do it now. I got everything all kind of ready to go, cut the template out, do everything. Yeah. But now it's not snowing. So now we're not going to get any more snow, so I'm not going to do it until I have to next fall when it snows. So yeah, that's the way I operate. I work better under pressure. True international pressure, actually. But needless to say, I'm going to move on here with some stuff. We got some stuff to talk to. haven't had a chance to do any shows this week. It's kind of been a busy week. I could have probably had a show Wednesday after. I was in Little Rock Wednesday morning. And I probably could have done a show Wednesday in the middle of the afternoon. Got in there a little bit late, but needless to say, I just was wiped out. I was really tired from everything that's been going on over the last couple of weeks. So I want to take a sip of sweet tea here. A little froggy throat this morning. I'm not sure what that's all about. But we'll try to work on that. Anyway, so I was in there and I decided to take a nap. Sorry, folks. No show. So I thought, let's save it all up for the show today. So I am just, the good news is now next week, as far as I know, every day will be a show, and probably almost every day, or hopefully every day, or nearly every day, or at least one day, there will be a show from the worldwide headquarters next week, and probably a live show, because by the time this all this unwinding gets done, we're going to be doing a full-blown live broadcast with video probably by the end of next week. I do have quite a bit to do. I've got a pool I got to work on. That's why I got the backhoe, because I got to dig out part of the side of the part of it kind of collapsed inside of itself. And so I got to dig that out, try to repair that, get a new liner put in it, all that stuff. Hopefully get that done, and then have a pool for the summer that I won't use more than once or twice. But it's important to have it, because that way you have something to do every day to get the bugs out of it every day. It's always important. Gives me something to do, like as if I need something else to do. So I'm declaring this to be the summer of fun. I've done that many times. Every summer I do that, and it never happens. Something always ends up screwing that up. But I'll probably break my leg or something this week, today, probably today, then the rest, Yeah, that's usually the way that stuff goes. Anyway, I want to be a little more hopeful that get some things done in the next couple weeks. So I have a few things to talk about. Donald Trump. I've never been like a trumpeter, whatever you call him. This nuts guy. I've never been totally nuts about Trump. I like the guy. I like what he stands. I like the principles his policies, I guess I should say, not his principles, his policies. So I'm not necessarily a Trump Trump nut, as they say. However, I've got to say, I sort of like this guy more. I love some of the stuff he does. This is, he gets stuck in New York. He's down. If you look at these cases and what they're doing to him, just to sit back and say, "Oh, this isn't political. This isn't politically motivated. We're just going." You're insane. You are literally deranged in the head. There's something wrong with you. If you cannot see that these cases are politically motivated, there is something wrong with you. I don't care whether you like Trump or hate Trump. If you can't tell what they're doing to this guy, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a financial counselor. But I have a brain and I have two ocular light sensing things in my head that I can see things and little vibration sensors in my ears that I can hear things. And it is pretty dang obvious to me what they're doing to this guy. So they got him held up. Is it pleaded guilty or pled guilty? I hear people all the time. I hear lawyers saying pleaded guilty. Pleaded? I pleaded guilty. I thought it was pled. Maybe that's not a word. I don't know. Has that changed over the years? I just don't remember. So we have this situation now with this Alvin Bragg case. It's just a criminal case now. And of course, it's bringing up the whole Stormy Daniels thing again.
Everyone is, no one's above the law. Everyone is.
Yeah, except for you guys. Except for all you people who turns out. It'd be interesting to see what happens with Alvin Bragg now. Because people are going to start investigating this guy and seeing what kind of crap he's got in his closet. Probably find out that he's been doing all kinds of shuffling around with money and all kinds of criminal stuff. He's probably a felon. Who knows? That's the way it seems like it turns out this way every time. Fani Willis, for instance, come to find out, she's the biggest fraud on the planet. Not the biggest, but one of the biggest. Coming after somebody and claiming she's going to, what really aggravates me is that she'll run off to church, pretend like she's the innocent one. Look at me, I'm the good one. They're coming after me because I'm black. I'm a black woman, that's why they're coming after me. Now, I don't want to hear this institutional power crap anymore, by the way. I'm tired of that. We can't be racist because we have no institutional power. And they come out and Joy Reid recently made this big stink about the fact that, isn't it ironic? Isn't it poetic? She says poetic, not ironic. She says poetic. That the very people that he would, for instance, she said that Stephen Miller, one of Trump's cabinet people, wouldn't want someone like Alvin Bragg going to Harvard. In other words, he wouldn't want a black man to go to Harvard. He's never said that. Never said that. That's not an issue. It's not about a black man going to Harvard. It's about a person being able to go to Harvard because they're black. That's the problem. Institutions, acceptance, rights should be blind. Justice should be blind to all of that. Your individual rights are your individual rights, protected regardless of your skin color, your race, your color, your creed, your religion, whatever it be. Your human rights should be protected, period. However, it should not give you an advantage either. Because now you're taking away someone else's rights. To exercise your special rights. Someone is dispossessed. And that is not what this country is about. And that's all Stephen Miller is saying. If you have worked on the basis of merit and achieved a scholarship or whatever you've gotten to go to Harvard, good for you. Oh, you happen to be black. Well, good for you. Who cares? You've made it to Harvard. Oh, you were allowed to go into Harvard because they needed a certain percentage of black people. And you happen to be at the top of the list. Well, good for you too, but that's not good for Harvard, and it's not good for anybody else. That's not good for the standards. That's just, to me, it just makes it stupid. The standard is not a standard anymore. These DEI hires that they're, whether you're white or black being hired by a DEI, is the NBA going to play by this rules too? Are they going to hire a certain number of white people? Everybody thinks that's just silly. That's just a joke. No, this is a job. If they get paid, it's a contract. And you're going to start going after them. I don't seem to have a problem with that. Joy Reid gets up there and starts talking about this and saying how it's just poetic that the prosecutor and the attorney general and the mayor and everybody, she starts listing off all these people who have power over this case and this situation. In all these cases that have gone after Trump, and how they're all black people, black women, black men. She thinks that's just wonderful. In other words, what you're saying, Joy, is the institution has power. The power of the institution is in the hands of black people who can't be racist because they have no institutional power. So that argument no longer stands. I'm sorry. It's done. If I ever hear somebody say that to me again, I'm done talking to them. There's no more conversation about it because you're just being an idiot. I know that's harsh words. I'll still love you. I'll still talk to you. I'll still care for you. But I'm not going to talk to you about that anymore because obviously you're just an idiot. You're obviously not looking at, you're just, now it's just talking points. Now it's just platitudes. And you can't have a conversation with that. Now, I need to pause here for just a second. I'm having some frustrations in the background. I just want to let you know what's happening here. There's some technical issues happening behind the scenes. I have had to, I've been recording, this happens occasionally with my system here at the house. I'm not sure what goes on, but it's a computer issue. It's not a software issue because all of a sudden just the recording stops. I don't have any audio. It rolls on and the audio just drops out. And I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if it's the interface issue. I don't know. I've never been able to figure it out. I shut everything off, turn it back all back on again, or I shut things down. So if I shut certain software off and turn it back on again, it seems to work fine. So I don't know. It's just something's not working right. It doesn't matter whether I'm using my DAW or if I'm using my memo recorder. It doesn't matter which software I use. It just stops working. And it takes about 10 minutes. So every so often I'm having to stop and go back over and see where I was talking. And it gets frustrating because the role doesn't happen as well. Speaking of, I think I might actually start another channel, another podcast. I've just noticed a lot more opportunities lately to actually delve into the area of speech, how people talk. And the authenticity. I've talked about this several times. I do voiceover work. And because of that, I have listened, I've recorded myself, I've listened to, I have done a lot of production work, I've done a lot of things regarding, got thousands of hours now of recording time, of hearing other people do recording. And of course, because I was in this industry several years ago, about 10 years ago, one of the practices that you get into, if you're really taking it seriously, is you try to listen. You listen to the radio, whatever you're listening to, TV, radio, other advertisements, and you try to analyze or mimic or repeat or try to recreate the energy that they're doing in the commercial just to give yourself more diversity. So you have more in your playbook that you can work with. When somebody asks you, tries to give you direction, you have an ability to relate something to that. There's something to bring to the table. So you can, if they want it slower, if they want it more melancholy, if they want, whatever it is. And many times that's difficult because they'll write the script that it comes out a certain way. And they don't want it to sound like the script is written. I've recently had a deal with that. Did an audition for a guy that, as I was reading the script, I was like, he's asking for the total opposite of the way the script is written. And so I tried it. And he said, yeah, you're kind of getting there, maybe a little bit slower. I was like, you want a normal guy next door sound to this, and you've written it like it's a disclaimer script. It's very, very difficult to do because it just doesn't sound right. Your neighbor doesn't come up to you and start saying, Esperion will give you, lactose problems. It's weird. It was just a weird deal. I didn't even try again. I looked at it and I was like, this is really a stretch. The pay was good on it, but I just wasn't going to do it. It just stretches you out of the box so far that it's like, this isn't even worth it. It may have been worth it. I don't know, but it's one of those things where I just don't want to take time to do that. Could have done it. At the time I was kind of busy and I just added whatever. Now, having said all that, because of that experience, because of doing all that and listening to so many people speaking and paying attention to the way they speak and what they say and how they say it and the intonation and everything else that they do. And by the way, Mike Rowe is an absolute genius when it comes to doing voiceover work. This is why he makes millions of dollars just doing voiceover work every year. Now, having said that, now in the day back when there was actually recording, when they actually recorded on tapes and not just digitally, there was a guy by the name of Don LaFontaine. Back in the 80s, I think even in the 70s, so the 80s and 90s especially, he was the guy who did all the movie trailers. When you wanted somebody to read something and have people listen to you, it was Don LaFontaine. He was in a world where one man living in a land before time. He was the guy who would do that stuff. Now, if I drank the right kind of tea, hot tea with some honey in it and some little bit of coconut oil, I can get pretty close to his voice. However, he would be ushered around all day long. Every day he would get up, a limo would show up at his house, his apartment, his condominium, whatever he had. I'm sure he owned his own place. And they would take him from one studio to the next. He would go to two or three, sometimes four studios in a day. He's making thousands of dollars a day. He made over $1 million in a year just talking, just reading scripts. He would walk in. Everything was the way he wanted it. They knew before he showed up that he had a certain kind of water that would be there, a certain kind of... He would walk in, do his recording, and he would walk out, go to the next one. Thousands of dollars a day. This is back in the day when thousands of dollars would buy you a car. $1 million a year was unheard of back then. In almost any trade, so it was $1 million a year. That's what I say. The guy was a legend. Now, there were several other people who also kind of took on those roles, and they had some other niches that they were in. But nowadays it's much more diverse. Because everybody, I can sit in my basement here and do an audio recording for somebody and make a couple thousand dollars for it. or, you know, the recording itself may not, but the usage will, you know, bring in that much. So it's an interesting trade. Now, having been involved in all that and in being involved in some coaching and that kind of thing and helping others get started in the business, you develop, I guess maybe there's already some kind of natural talent to doing it, but there's also this other ability that comes into it that you start to develop and you really start to hone, and that is the ability to really recognize when someone is acting, when they're not acting. What they are saying, whether they're really being honest or not, that starts to come out. And it's not 100%, but it's pretty, you start recognizing, when I hear somebody say, I hear somebody talking, it sounds like they're lying to me. That's something about not right. And something's not right there. And then come to find out, you know, 2 weeks later, come to find out that they were lying. And I think that I could almost do my own podcast, just analyze. I mean, it wouldn't be a long, you know, 1 hour podcast every day, but might be a 10-minute thing where I just play, you know, it's kind of like a body language type thing where you play something that someone said and you start to analyze and you start talking about it. And you say, this person's shooting straight, or this person's not, or this person's acting, or this is a scripted event. I recently saw a TED Talk. This lady was talking, and she was some kind of big shot, some kind of company. She was, come to find out, she's kind of anti-First Amendment. She's going on about this thing. But as I was watching her and listening to this speech, I realized this woman there's no natural intonation. There's no natural inflection. She's talking at you, not to you. She's not having a heartfelt expression. And in the process of doing this, I thought, this is a woman who has sat in front of a mirror and said and given this speech. And I've seen people do this. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with this. If you're doing a presentation, especially when it comes to informational-based stuff, if you want to put on a presentation and you want it to just be, you know, spot on and accurate and have everything said the way it needs to be said, the way you want it to say. I don't know. I'm sure she's been probably a part of Toastmasters or something like that, but they work on this kind of thing. Critique each other. Somebody make a speech and they'll critique each other. It's a good program. However, if you're able to just stand in front of, see, there are some people who cannot stand public speaking. They would rather die than speaking public. Give me a microphone and I will not shut up. Obviously, that's why you're here listening to this. That's why I have this. This lady was reading through. She was speaking this thing, and she's walking around sounding very natural, making eye contact. But everything she was saying, I was like, she has rehearsed this at least 100 times. She probably spent an hour a day, since this is, you know, TED Talks are like 10 minutes long. She probably spent an hour or two every day going over this speech that she probably wrote herself. And I bet she has repeated it at least 100 times. Now, this does enable, and I've noticed this even in voiceover, I've noticed that this is possible. If someone can give me the script the day before, especially if it's a fairly long, complicated script with a lot of medical technology jargon, it really helps for me to get the flow of, because sometimes my writing style is different than other people's writing style. And of course, they'll write something, they'll write a script, and it just doesn't flow naturally for me, but it will flow. But once I've read through it several times, I can kind of get the flow, the understanding, the rhythm, the energy that's there. I can put that into it, and I know what's coming next, and it kind of rolls a little bit more naturally. However, I have noticed if you read it too many times, you not only know what's coming, but you stop reading the script. It starts to become ingrained in you the way you're going to say it. And here's where the problem comes. If you repeat that 100 times, if you said to her, hey, I'd like for you to do that again, that line again, but I'd like for you to slow it down and do it this way, or have more inflection or more emphasis on this particular word, it would be more difficult for her to do that, to take direction on that, because she has already ingrained it into her motor skills to do it the way she's doing it. So there's there is some pluses and some minuses to that whole thing. Now, the plus is here, she has nobody telling her, she's nobody in her ear telling her to go slower or faster or do anything different with that. She's got it down the way she wants to do it, which is fine because it's her speech. However, this becomes very difficult when you're doing it in the voiceover world. Now, so I was looking at this. I wanted to make the point right away. It's like, this lady has, this is just a rehearsed script. She's not talking to you, which is fine. It's a TED Talk. She's up there presenting something. She's not taking questions. She's not being, this isn't serendipitous. But you take that and then you look at someone like Trump who just takes questions off the cuff. Trump doesn't have a script. I mean, he has kind of a general rule. I think when he does his rallies, he kind of has an idea of what he's going to say. He goes through certain points, and he does have some teleprompter stuff there to help him kind of make sure he doesn't skip over anything. But he's just up there talking. This is something that's developed over time. So this guy, what I like about this guy, what I'm starting to like more about this guy, they got him in Harlem. He doesn't just hide, go to a place, of, you know, just, he's not just some rich guy that goes off, put me up in a hotel, I'm going to stay here. This guy goes into the heart of Harlem. This is like this Atlanta thing the other day. He's in town in Atlanta going through the trust. So guess what he does? He goes down to the Chick-fil-A, buys everybody lunch. Next thing you know, you've got all these people hugging him, talking about how they love Trump. And we're not talking white rich people. They keep talking about all of his billionaire buddies. I happen to know that there, if you polled most of the billionaires in the world, they don't like Trump. They're not his buddies. So Donald Trump goes into the Chick-fil-A in Atlanta. And now all these black people are giving him hugs, saying how much they love him. And the left, their heads are popping off because they realize they're losing ground with the people that they own. I can't stand that. So now he's in New York with Alvin Bragg, and Alvin Bragg says you have to be in court every day, and you can't appeal this to the Supreme Court. You're not allowed to appeal this ruling to the Supreme Court. Who? What? What is that? What kind of rules are, this is a kangaroo, this is actually, in my opinion, this is criminal, what they're doing to him at this point. And I don't know that there's any way, just, look, I'm concerned about this whole process and where they're trying to take this thing. Because here's the problem. They know that Donald Trump could win this election. Now think about that. This candidate could win the election.
And it will be the end of our democracy.
Think about how stupid that is. We have a democratic process that they're concerned about losing. And they're not claiming he's going to cheat. Oh, other than this voter ID thing. Somebody said the other day, I saw a meme the other day. About making sure that everybody has a voter ID, that you have ID for voting, and that we want to verify everybody. I think it's called the Save Act. I think they're trying to pass now that says that you have to be a U.S. citizen. You have to prove U.S. citizenship in order to vote. And the left is screaming, "Oh, there's already rules on the books about being you can't vote without being a U.S. citizen anyway. For in a national election, you can't in local elections." Okay, then why do you care about the SAVE Act? It's not going to change anything, right? It's not like we're taking a vote rights away. You shouldn't have a problem with voting in verification of someone's, because the law is already on the books. This is just a way to verify the law, to make sure it's enforceable. And their heads are screaming. They're screaming their heads off, saying, this is just white supremacy, racism, because, black people can't figure out how to get an ID. Now, did you know that in New York recently, I think it was New York, there was a line about a mile long at the IRS office. Maybe it was the state office. I think it was the IRS. I think it was federal office. Where in order to get your refund, your tax refund, this was on April 15th or April 14th, something like that. April 15th, I think. In order to get your tax refund, a whole bunch of people got letters saying they had to go down and verify their identity in order to get their tax refund. And it went too long, and they had to close the office down, and there was still about a 3-block-long line for this place just to verify their ID so they could get their tax refund, money that they paid that the government owes them. They had to verify their identity to get it back. But they don't have to have an ID to vote. I didn't see anybody on the left. I didn't see their heads screaming off about racism or anything else. But it sure looked like everybody in that line was of African descent. Just saying. Now, it's interesting. There was an interview recently with this one lady. I'm just randomly talking about stuff today, by the way, if you haven't noticed. This lady recently the other day, she made this comment about how when she was a Democrat, she never had Republicans calling her names, treating her poorly, just for the stances, for the policies she had, and for the party that she stood for. She said since she has become a Republican, since she has changed her view, a conservative Republican, not just a... She says she's been called every name in the book. She's been disowned by her friends. She's been treated like a second-class citizen. She said it's the worst thing she's ever gone through. She didn't realize the attitude of the left until she was no longer a part of the left. I know that not every Democrat, not everybody on the left is this way, but leftist folks, fascists don't realize they're fascists. They don't come out of the box saying, "Hey, look, I'm a fascist and I'm here to take away your rights." They don't do that. There's no self awareness to your fascism when you're a fascist. Just put it that way. The Nazis didn't realize they were doing something wrong. They thought they were fighting for the good. They were fighting for the right. Mussolini is the. It's just, you don't realize you're in that situation. There are people who will protest it. But the censorship is coming from the left, folks. Now, in the past, Republicans have done some stupid things in this regard, trying to impose certain moral standards that really didn't belong, in my opinion, to come down from the government. There are some things to do and there are some things that don't. There are certain moral standards that do need to apply across the board to everyone. And there are some that they've gone a bridge too far. And then, of course, the pendulum would swing back. This is why the liberals are called liberals, because they thought they were liberating people. Well, then it became something different. Became this thing where now all of a sudden the government provides you with everything. And of course, that means they can take it away. We'll talk about that more next week. I want to talk a little bit more about the whole issue of taxation, of government control. And you don't realize government is taking over the means of production from the back door. They're basically coming in, sneaking in through a back door, to control the means of production. And this is what we're seeing with this, is they've now taken over the means of justice in this country, because they only enforce the rules that they want to enforce, the laws that they want to enforce, and whatever's convenient for them and their side. This is what's happening in our country right now. So over the next couple of weeks, hopefully this podcast will develop into the next stage of what it needs to be. And we will look at, much like a fine wine develops. By the way, we're at episodes. I think we're at 700. I think this is a 703 or 72, 73, something like that. 700. We're over 700 now, by the way. And this year we are on track probably to get to around almost 1,000 podcast mark, I think, episode mark. We'll see how that goes. It's because I think it'll get up there in around the 900s anyway. So as we press forward, move on, move upward, upward and onward, upward and on, onward and upward, whatever that is, whatever it is. Now, over the weekend, pay close attention to what happens over this weekend. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with some of the cases, because the whole criminal case against Trump has been very unbalanced. But in the meantime, have peace, Shabbat Shalom, have a great weekend. God bless. We'll see you Monday.